CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, welcome back to The Mining Pod. On today's show, we are joined by Orkun Kilic of Citria, aka Chainway Labs. They're working on a novel zero-knowledge roll-up to improve Bitcoin scalability. In this conversation, we're mostly focused on Bitcoin mining and what this could mean for Bitcoin miners in the future, if a zero-knowledge rollup does take off on top of Bitcoin. Thank you to Chainway Labs for making this show possible. We'd also like to thank CleanSpark, America's Bitcoin miner, for making the show possible. You'll hear more from CleanSpark later in today's show. Before we're on to the show, let's talk about the Bitcoin halving party here in Denver, Colorado at the Independence Institute. If you're in Denver, Colorado or the Rocky Mountain region, be sure to join us. You can find more information in today's show notes. Orkun, welcome to the Mining Pod. Thanks for joining today. You're on the podcast circuit right now, but gotcha, ETH Denver.
Yeah, hi, Vallak. Thank you for having me today. It's great to be in ETH Denver or BTC Denver and be in the Mining Pod. Yeah.
Yeah, when we took over, we're turning the streets orange here. I like that I got you first and foremost in person. So I think this could be a better show than all the other ones because of that. But we are going to be covering much of the same ground. The difference being, of course, we want to focus on Bitcoin miners a little bit more, which podcast is catered towards. We'll just start off with a bio. I think people who listen to the show regularly are probably know about Chainway because I've been talking to you guys about you guys on the news portion of it. But on the CoinDesk feed, people might not know about you guys. So bio, and then let's get into like what you guys have been up to and what you're known for.
Yeah, sure. I'm one of four co-founders of Chainway Labs and CEO. Chainway Labs is the company building Citria, Bitcoin's first ZK rollup. We actually co-founded Chainway Labs 1.5 years ago. We worked on privacy, we worked on ordinals. And then for the last 1 year, we were working on this project. It evolved a lot, but we started ideating and researching about this 1 year ago. And today we have Citria announced and like getting lots of attention from the community. That's the short bio of myself and the comp.
Okay. What about yourself, though? Like, what got you into Bitcoin?
Yeah. I'm an engineer. So I'm a computer scientist. I started working in crypto or blockchain 4 or 5 years ago. I was initially developing smart contracts on EVM chains, working with like freelance or stuff. And previously, I had experience in web development. I always had something with like UTXO chains. I was building my own UTXO blockchain and like hobby projects and tried to add some functionality to it, like programmability. At that time, I knew Bitcoin, but I wasn't that interested because I didn't think there is something to build on Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. But last year, I saw like Casey's Ordinals thing, and it was only 100 inscriptions in the mainnet. Mm-hmm. So even if we immediately dived in, like we had already a node in our office, so we downloaded our software, start indexing, and it made it to finish because there was only 100 inscriptions.
Yeah.
We tried to inscribe something and see, so it was too hard.
Yeah.
So we started developing one of the first Ordinals wallets, Ordinal Safe, to make it easy for everyone.
So inscriptions really kicked a lot of things off. But before that, you said privacy.
Yeah.
Chainway's focus on that. Was that Bitcoin-focused privacy or like anything?
You know Tornado Cash? Maybe it's a privacy pool working on EVM chain. So it got sanctioned by like legal authorities in US. And there was like lots of reaction from the community, including ourselves. So we started thinking, okay, what if we can build a tool to use Tornado Cash safely. Yeah. It was proof of innocence, which is mainly you prove that you are not a sanctioned address, but you are not disclosing your address. It used zero knowledge proofs, recursive zero knowledge proofs. I think it was one of the like top-notch recursive ZK proof application at that time. Yeah, it was like we already interested in privacy for too long, and we saw the opportunity. It was fully public good, fully open source. We developed it, integrated it into several other projects as well on EVM chains. Yeah, that was our main focus on privacy.
And then do you guys kind of sunset that once inscriptions came around, or are you still working on that?
It was open source. We basically built it, left it to the community. We are not actively maintaining because it's like one-time protocol.
Yeah.
Getting deployed on testnet, open source, and we left it at that way.
Yeah.
And in the Ordinals wallet, we also focused on that for a year. But with the, like all the Citrea work, like it was too much work to do, like all the BTVM and ZK stuff. So we also sunset Ordinal Safe a couple of months ago.
Okay.
So Citrea is our only focus right now.
And so for these projects, do you guys kind of think of yourselves as like a hacker house where you're like being able to move between different like inscriptions, privacy, net rollups? Like if, how do you guys think about which projects you're going to work on?
Like once while we are trying to find our company with my four co-founders, three co-founders and I, we were thinking about, okay, this should be like a venture builder. We should produce our own products in the market. It was started that way. We were interested in privacy and Tornado Cash thing happened. So I started working on it and we saw Ordinals, we started working on it. And then we realized, okay, we know ZK very well.
Mm.
We know Bitcoin script well. So what if like we can combine these skills and make this inscription thing usable in DeFi and finance?
Mm-hmm.
The idea started in that way. Initially, it was a sovereign ZK rollup, which is kind of client-side validated version
mm-hmm.
of our rollups. No BTC, but only meta protocols like inscriptions and BRC20s. It was our focus back then. Then thanks to Robin, he invented BitVM. And the day after, we realized, okay, we can build ZK verifier in it and we can have bridge using this BitVM mechanism. And after that point, we were fully focused on this project and we are not doing anything other than this at the moment.
Gotcha. Okay, we'll definitely get to BitVM in a little bit. I wanted to have Robin on for Zero Sync, and that was in November. We're going to have him on. And then he dropped the BitVM paper and he went viral and now is a celebrity. So we haven't had him on yet. But one day we'll get him on, especially when it's a mining pertinent topic. So from there, you guys started focusing on rollups.
Yeah.
And ZK rollups specifically. Tell me a little bit about why you guys wanted to focus on rollups. What, there's a lot of different scaling solutions out there that are talked about. Why rollups for you guys?
So like maybe we can divide it into two branches. One is like programmable, fully like during compilate programmable chains, and the other is not programmable chains. So in the second thing, we have like Lightning. We have like ZK coins of Robin's proposal, and like there's RGB, which is kind of programmable, but
mm-hmm.
not that much. So we wanted to focus on something programmable because like we value BTC as the real currency, but without having an economy, we don't think people can acknowledge this as a real currency. So we're thinking about building an economy and it should be programmable chain to build this kind of economy. So we went that way, and since day zero, we knew that side chains are like flawed in design. They are, they cannot, in any case, they cannot get any Bitcoin security.
Yeah.
That's their problem. And the much more important thing is they compete with Bitcoin in the long term because they basically create an alternative block space, user flow into that way, and they pay to that chain's miners and stakers.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't anyhow benefit the miners, Bitcoin main chain. So we think that this design is not that great and not that efficient as well. So we knew that we should use Bitcoin block space to scale. And like most effective way to do is basically ZK rollups, because you take the execution from main chain, you batch them in like thousands of transactions in the ZK VM and generate a succinct proof
mm-hmm.
and put the proof inside the Bitcoin blockchain so that you have, you still have Bitcoin as your source of truth. It also validates thanks to BitVM. But you basically use that block space efficiently so that you can do maybe 10 times, maybe 100 times more TPS than the Bitcoin main chain with like little to no trade-offs to Bitcoin main chain.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how did the ZK part come across for you from a developer standpoint? Like how did you get involved in the ZK space?
One of my co-founders has a medalist in like International Olympics in Informatics, and like other my other co-founder is like first in the national exam or so. So they are very intelligent in math stuff. once we started, we were all developers, except one of my co-founders that do the like operations and business stuff, Murat. Ekrem was the medalist and Esat was our CTO. So they are very smart in mathematics. And I was interested in protocol design. So we came up with like this ZK idea of like Tornado Cache, the proof of innocence. And Ekrem immediately catch everything up and started writing circuits. Esat contribute to the circuits and the program as well. So in a shorter time, we built this ZK. And after that point, we knew we love ZK. And we only worked on privacy at that point, but we know how it scales blockchains from like Ethereum's landscape and also from other ecosystems. So we really love ZK, working on DeepMat, working on ZK cryptography. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And so we'll go to BitVM in a little bit and talk about some of like the foundational principles that you guys are using to move forward with this right now. But in terms of like the business structure, you guys just announced that you closed a raise with Galaxy Digital, a few others. I'll let you get into that. Where have you guys been the last 3 months? And then post-raise, where are you guys at the moment?
Yeah, the funding was completed late past year. So after the funding, we managed to like expanded the team. Right now we are 12 people, but back then we were only 6 people, like 4 of us are co-founders already. So we expanded the team and we're still hiring people, like especially the senior like protocol engineers and stuff. So this funding enables us to like make Stray possible even like more sooner. So we are working hard on like productionizing our code base. We will open source them in March. Maybe this will around the same time with this podcast. So
yeah,
we will open source our code base. We will reveal our bridge design. And hopefully in Q2 somewhere, we will have testnet.
Okay, sick. Pretty cool. Congrats on the fundraising. That's big. There's a few other competitors out there right now. Like, how do you think about that landscape of different, whether it be like a Botanix, which is more of like a multi-sig scheme, or there's other L2s out there. How are you thinking about like competitors right now?
So in scaling with like this kind of programmable chains, you need to consider two things. Yeah. One is the security of the bridge, and the other is the security of the L2 itself. So let's talk about the oldest one, Rootstock, right? It is merge mined sidechain, which bridge the BTC with some multisig. So in the first assumption, you are trusting the majority of multisig won't steal your BTC. And in the second, you trust that the merge miners don't steal your BTC on the sidechain. So you have two trust assumptions, which are pretty big. We definitely didn't like this model because of like flow version of like sidechains and all the bridge mechanism. So we kind of need to manage this, like trust minimize all of these aspects. So in the competitor landscape, Citria basically minimize the trust in bridge because we use BitVM. And what BitVM verifies is basically all the Citria, thanks to recursive ZK proofs.
Mm-hmm.
So BitVM verifies full Citria history. So no block producer on the Citria can steal your money because there is a ZK proof for it. So L2 trust assumption is already ignored in Citria because there is no trust assumption. On the L1, the bridge assumption, we have BitVM and it allows us to have one-of-n trust assumption, which basically if one person in the committee is honest, then your peg is secure. This is like huge improvement over existing multisig schemes. You mentioned Botanix, yeah, they are like large and distributed multisig, but it is still eventually honest majority assumption. It's like you can stake BTC to join the committee like the multisig, but honest majority of the multisig must accept your BTC into that multisig as well. So you have trust assumption in both joining. It is not permissionlessly joined. You have honest majority assumption to join. And you also have honest majority assumption not to steal your money. And all the fees contribute like on the sidechain collected by the stakers, not miners. And why should like miners still mine the chain then if we can eventually turn into proof of stake sidechain?
Yeah.
We saw this design and Botanix was after our designs research done. So as Citria, like we eliminate the trust in most of the case. So we think that this is the most effective and most trust minimized way to construct an L2 on Bitcoin today, even like with a programmable way.
In the competitive world of Bitcoin mining, one name stands out, CleanSpark, America's Bitcoin miner. At CleanSpark, efficiency isn't just a goal, it's our standard. Our sophisticated facilities are built and led by expert teams who care about Bitcoin and the communities we work in. Scale, we've mastered it. Our large-scale operations have set us apart in the industry as examples of community-oriented building. Our track record speaks for itself. We navigate the complexities of the new economy with precision and with skill, continuously achieving operational milestones. Curious about how we do it? We invite you to discover the story behind CleanSpark's success at cleanspark.com.
So let's go back to the other part for the mining. It's obviously interesting for miners. It's like all these scaling solutions are very ephemeral. It's confusing which one's going to take off, if any of them. But we can look at some of the base assumptions here and see which ones are going to be beneficial for mining. And you're saying something like Botanix, like eventually all the flows from transaction fees are going to aggregate to the staking layer there, as opposed to back to the L1 main chain. So it's less interesting for miners, right?
I do think. Yeah, and less interesting to miners is equals to less interesting for everyone in Bitcoin, because it doesn't contribute to fees, it doesn't contribute to hash rate, it doesn't contribute to security budgets and long-term security. So,
okay. Is there a way in which it's like arguable that that's okay?
Obviously, some people like may accept this and go to Botanix and enjoy like all the applications or even there if there's any. So, but I don't think this is a correct way of scaling, and it's like beneficial to Bitcoin in the long term.
Okay, that's a really good point. So Citria or some sort of roll-up scheme does enable that because you're bringing more throughput to the chain, which brings transactions down to the main chain. Similar or dissimilar from Lightning in the sense that you're scaling?
Yeah, in Lightning, you also don't have like this incentive aligned mechanism because, okay, it's very cheap. That's good for users, but there is like no fees collected for the miners and all the transactions happen. Let's imagine a world where every transaction is happening on Lightning. You only pay to close a channel, open a channel and put a like just this transaction. And these fees won't be enough in the long term for Bitcoin. So our mental model is like L1 must collect as much as fees as possible in the long term. But these fees should be divided as much as users in the L2 or L3 or on the L4. And this is possible with recursion, ZK proofs, and all this compression mechanism.
Do you think if we had rollups in 2015 when the Lightning papers came out, that it would have been a different world?
Yeah, for sure. Like rollups can, it doesn't have to enable programmability stuff. It can also have a payment rollup, which is far more effective than Lightning. No complexity of like routing, no this kind of like two mechanism, channel mechanism, no inbound liquidity. So I think everything will be better if we have rollups back then.
Interesting. And what do you think about people pushing back on rollups right now for Bitcoin? We're getting away from Citrus stuff, but we'll get back into it. In terms of like rollups versus Lightning right now, how have you seen like that dialogue between two camps?
I think that's because of people mostly think rollups, like we are building an EVM because we care about economy. But some people in Bitcoin may not care about that much. Yeah. They just want to use payment, which is totally fine.
Yeah.
But they don't realize they can do this on payment-specific rollups or like Lightning on top of rollups. So you can even enable this kind of payment channel, which is like more effective, like more less cost. And you can build this on an EVM compatible rollup, so you don't have to deal with all the script complexities and like bugs and like software things and routing complexities.
Yeah.
So once I think we will enable this kind of use cases, people will understand the value of rollups because you don't change the L1, even like with the trust minimized way, you don't. And if you want trustless, it is like some simple opcode. And once you go there, you can build anything because it's Turing complete and it doesn't affect the security of the main chain.
Yeah.
This is a good way of scaling to our vision.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, that was just like an aside because there's right now a lot of Lightning devs who are looking at what they've built over the last few years. And I think they're getting a lot of pressure from the larger community. I mean, like, why is this not working correctly? And like, I'm not one to cast stones because I can't even like do any of this. But it is like an important conversation right now between two camps. So let's leave that aside and go to Citri itself and talk about like the what you guys built holistically. And then from there, we'll boot over back to the roll-up conversation and kind of like take a 10,000 foot look. From Citria itself, walk us through like how it works from the BitVM standpoint on the security side all the way through like how you guys are architecting. Like, is this going to be open source so people can like copy paste it and make their own roll-ups? Are you guys trying to, I don't know, I'll let you go from there. But yeah, starting with BitVM.
Yeah, so maybe I can like talk about the user flow in Citria from deposit to withdrawal so you can understand.
That'd be great.
The first of all, for example, you don't need to deposit to Citria to start. This is like something that is differentiated from Lightning. You don't have an on-chain transaction to onboard to Citria. because it is just some EVM public key, which is correspondent private key. And you can just get this CBTC, we call it the Citria version of BTC. It is one-to-one peg. So you can get this from someone else. You can get this from exchange. You can get this from on-ramp solutions, or you can basically atomic swap from BTC to Citria to onboard the chain, and you don't have to do anything else on the main chain by doing that. I think this is one advantage over all the like inbound liquidity issues. And so let's say you want to deposit into Citria. One, the best possible way is to get your money from some friend or exchange because it doesn't require on-chain transaction. Yeah. But if you want to onboard your on-chain BTC, then you can first atomic swap or deposit into BitVM. So BitVM bridge has some limitations. Maybe we can talk about in the BitVM section.
Yeah.
But basically, you lock your UTXO and request some signatures from all the verifiers and a pre-image. This UTXO has two paths. You can get your money 1 week after, or they basically move your funds into the multisig, the BitVM multisig. So if they don't accept your money, you can basically claim your money. It is kind of atomic. So, but basically they spend your money and they reveal a pre-image. And with that pre-image, you basically mint your CBTC on the Citria. And then you are good. You are onboarded into Citria.
Mm-hmm.
And it's EVM environment so that you can enjoy all the existing toolings built for Ethereum for over the years, like wallets, like exchanges and like lending protocols, Bitcoin-backed loans, Bitcoin-backed stablecoins. They can be all built on Citria. So you enjoyed your time. And let's say you did some transactions and basically the sequencer, the party that do this block producing mechanism produce blocks in every 2 seconds.
Yeah.
So you get the pre-confirmation, then these blocks are batched together and proved in a process we call ZK prover. And there's a proof generated and inscribed into Bitcoin with some sufficient data, which we call state diffs.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, if you are running a Bitcoin node, you can just look at the transaction, scan the transactions and find this envelope, the inscription envelope inscribed with proof. Then you can verify the proof. And if you can verify it and it matches with your local state root, then this means you are fully safe.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to trust anyone else. So over the time, we aggregate these proofs inscribed into Bitcoin, which is in a recursive manner. So we recursively verify all the ZK proofs. And in the end, we have a single proof saying that this is the latest canonical Bitcoin proof of work and block hash, and this is the rollup state root.
Mm-hmm.
So with that proof, we can broadcast into our mobile phones. So you don't have to trust anyone or launch a full node. If you have access to the latest Bitcoin block hash from your Bitcoin Lite node or like some Explorer, then you are good to go. You don't have to trust anyone. And in the end, this proof is verified in Bitcoin, BitVM. In checkpoint transactions. So this enables withdrawals. If this proof is faulty, then any verifier can put a fraud proof and say that, okay, this proof is incorrect, or this is not the canonical Bitcoin chain by just showing a longer proof of work.
Yeah.
So this is how Citria is secured by Bitcoin and BitVM and ZK proof.
Okay, let's go to the BitVM part. So for background, BitVM, and we did talk about this on the podcast in like a news portion, but again, we haven't had Robin on yet. BitVM is a novel concept for how we can make Bitcoin a little bit more expressive in terms of like doing compute. That's as much as I will be able to say. What are you guys looking at with BitVM? What's interesting to you about it?
Yeah, so BitVM initially was the name of the paradigm that enables this Turing complete mechanism. So if you can like 100% assert that a computation is true or false, then you are good to go. It can be in single transaction or it can be via fraud proofs. So BitVM basically divides a program into chunks of scripts. Initially, it was like the NAND gates stuff, the gate stuff, but later this changed. I can talk about this. And you basically, in a very high level, chunk these things into Merkle tree, like taproot tree, the leaves of the Merkle tree. Then you get the root on chain. And you sign a series of pre-signed transactions with like between the prover and the verifier, so that at any time prover shows a computation of chain. Basically, it says I evaluated this function with this input and it returned true or false. And if you are a verifier and you agree with the result, then you basically co-sign a transaction and there is no on-chain footprint.
Mm-hmm.
This is the good part. And if you are not happy with this computation and you think it is faulty or you haven't heard anything from the prover, you can basically force the prover on chain either for revealing the inputs or showing like you can challenge the operator to show me this computation. Then he responds, then you show another. And he responds, you show another. And at the end, you basically have an equivocation which means that prover lights, or you don't have anything else, and this means you uselessly use this mechanism to kind of like make prover busy. So in the end, you evaluate this function, true or false, without computing all the transaction on chain, but dividing the result into chunks of fraud proofs. With this way, you can enable any kind of Turing complete transaction and computation.
Okay, so I'll put in my own words. So essentially, you're taking some sort of program or script or whatever, and you're breaking that computation up across different Bitcoin blocks, and then over chunks over time, and then holistically combined, you look at that data and say, like, we can verify that a program is running correctly. And then there's also like a way to prove that someone did something or did not do something with the fraud proof, right? So this allows you to build a program on top of Bitcoin, because you can not only like run the program in a sense, very limited program, but some program, and then you can prove if that action happened or not.
Yeah, this you can prove that this computation is true or false with Bitcoin security, Bitcoin's full hash rate. You don't have to encode everything in single script. This is the like logic behind the BitVM. You can divide the program into several transactions and several Merkle tree leaves so that you can succinctly verify this via fraud proofs. And eventually you still verified it. It is still Bitcoin secured, but you did less transaction than you actually should do to compute that result.
And it's per transaction, not per block, for what you're speaking about here, right?
Yeah, there's like interactive challenge response game, which like this mechanism, it's a kind of tricky and it can depend on the implementation, but there's no like official implementation, but Robin is doing his own BitVM implementation in that it only gives you like 7 days to react a challenge or show a challenge. Yeah. So for example, I challenge you and you have 7 days to respond, then you respond, then I have 7 days to challenge you and so on.
Okay.
So, and in their mechanism, they have 4 billion execution steps. This is like too technical, but it divides into 40 transactions on Bitcoin. So in the worst case, you have to do 40 transactions to verify a BitVM program. But in the worst, in the best case, you don't have to do anything. You just sign the transactions and go on.
And that's a big improvement from November, right? Where like November, I saw something about like the game could go on forever. Like the fraud proof could take forever to... Is that right?
Like Robin figure out, we don't need to do this with gate. We can do instructions and we can fit more instruction to a single script instead of doing gates for every single script. So it basically reduced the number of Merkle leaves.
Okay.
And this means that it reduced the number of challenge response game also.
Okay. And now how does Citria fit into this BitVM box?
So like I said, BitVM have 4 billion steps that you can execute. And 4 billion is not that much as a for a computer program. So we basically built a ZK verifier running on BitVM so that we can now do anything. We can prove anything. As it can be like the longest program on the earth, but you can still prove it. Yeah. And you can fit into a single succinct proof, and then you can verify the proof in BitVM. So like I said, we aggregate all the Citria proofs over the base layer, and then we built our own ZK verifier in C. Then we compiled into BitVM's instruction set in several steps. So right now, BitVM instruction sets can verify a ZK proof. And by using that, we aggregate Citria proofs and verify this in our program built in BitVM. And then the result is either true or false. If it is false, verifiers can show send an on-chain transactions and show a fraud proof. A disclaimer, BitVM is not complete. Yeah. BitVM is proof of concept implementation. The off-chain part is almost complete. The on-chain part is still missing.
Yeah.
So, but we designed our ZK verifier like BitVM is complete because we know the instruction set. We know how it is going to look in the end. So we immediately started working on it. And right now we have an off-chain BitVM that can verify ZK proofs. But the on-chain scripts to show the fraud proofs and stuff is not done yet.
Okay.
When I was talking with someone yesterday at Denver, and they said BitVM is trust minimized, not trustless.
Yeah, that's correct, because you need someone to show a fraud proof, right?
Okay.
If it doesn't require any fraud proof and you did computation all in once, then it will be trustless.
Yeah.
But in this case, for example, in Citria, there will be n verifiers, which the number changes depending on the implementation. And if any of the n verifier is honest, then you are good, which means you minimize the trust as much as possible.
Yeah.
But this still requires the trust of one person among the community. So this is huge improvement over the existing multisigs, which requires the majority, but this is minority. It is not trustless, but it is the best construction you can do on Bitcoin today.
Okay. Do you think that fits Bitcoin's ethos of like the L1? So multi-sigs, I don't think it really anybody likes. So we can see that because there's like a ton of multi-sig applications for L2s that have like really not taken off. People don't like it. And the Holy Grail is some sort of two-way peg where you can go in and out with BTC and not have to worry about anything else. Maybe you have to run another application, but it's trustless. Do you think BitVM is good enough, or is it good enough for now in the midst of...
It's good enough for now.
Okay.
Not for... We like 100% support the ZK verifying base layer.
Yeah.
Imagine a world like we have ZK verification on the Bitcoin, so you don't have to deal with any BIPs about opcodes anymore.
Yeah.
Do you want CAT? Just build a like circuit for that and verify on Bitcoin with ZK. Do you want CTV? Do the same. Do you want TXH? Do the same. You don't need to deal with BIPs anymore. Yet, I understand it is very broad thing to introduce into Bitcoin because it can verify anything, and if you are in terms of user, it is like not a simple script, it's like some kind of obfuscated because of ZK proofs. But in the long term, I think we will find a way to make it all clear and introduce into Bitcoin. But today, BitVM is the best thing that we can do, and it's a stepping stone for us to make Citrea live, show like what we can do with Citrea.
Yeah.
Then people will acknowledge the need of trustless Citrea so that. Maybe in the future, we will enable this ZK opcode.
How do you think this compares to ETH rollups we've seen so far? Citrea specifically, in this case,
In terms of the ETH rollups, in ETH, we can have trustless ZK rollups because the base layer immediately verifies the ZK proof without having a fraud proof. But in Bitcoin, we have the BitVM, so we call this trust minimized ZK rollup. It is not trustless ZK rollup because it is not possible to do on Bitcoin with these opcodes. But it is trust minimized ZK rollup compared to the Ethereum rollups. In terms of security model, this is similar to a rollup running live on Ethereum, which is called Arbitrum, which requires a committee to interact with the fraud proof today. But in terms of the execution and working side, it is almost same with Ethereum ZK rollups, except this BitVM part.
Okay.
Hey listeners, let's talk about revolutionizing your mining operation with Foreman. This isn't your average management tool. It's an all-in-one solution for reducing costs and significantly boosting your revenue. Foreman brings a cutting-edge dashboard to your fingertips, empowering you with automated energy strategies. This means not only curtailing around real-time prices, but also strategically enhancing your profit margins through demand response. It's about leveraging energy efficiency to its fullest potential. With Foreman, you get a system that scales with your business, inventory management for assets, infrastructure integration, and business intelligence. Foreman elevates the cash flow and production of your entire operation. To see how Foreman can redefine your mining operation standards, visit foreman.mn. With Foreman, you're not just managing a mining operation, you're setting a new standard in the industry.
Okay, well, let's go to Citrea now, kind of expose like the foundations for what you guys are working on. And I'm going to go back to Ethereum rollups here. There's Base, there's Arbitrum, Starkware is doing something. There's a bunch of other ones out there. Seems like a lot of liquidity is fragmented. You get like a lot of dApps built on top of these, which they're trying to figure out how to like get them to speak with each other. So for example, if there's like a program on top of Base, like a lending protocol, and you want to move back down to the main chain, you move through Base. But if you want to go from Base to Arbitrum, my understanding is that's not really figured out yet. And so you have problems where like prices might be slightly different. That's not a huge issue. But the bigger issue is like if I'm a user and I want to be able to move between these different rollups, it's kind of annoying, especially if I'm like in a lending protocol and I have like funding on one side and I have like a loan on the other. So those kind of things are still in the way. And I think those are being like actively worked on. I think a fear for Bitcoiners is like we introduce a rollup, we have tons of different rollups. Before we know, we have like this huge different wide ecosystem like we have with Ethereum. Is that a problem?
Yeah, it's a problem.
Okay. What does that look like? How do we solve that problem?
Going into that, I will ask some questions to you this time. So,
yeah.
Do you think
Drive chains solve this, for example?
Oh, great question. Is Paul going to listen to this podcast? That's the thing I have to think about. I don't know if they necessarily would as much as like just introduce other problems. Like, I do think, like, there's more MEV because of a drivetrain world. In terms of, like, fracturing liquidity, I do think rollups introduce much more of a problem there and drivetrains would not, because it does seem with drivetrains you can settle back down or just, like, interact with your one drivetrain. But I'm not going to lie. I'm on this side of the mic. So you're on that side. So you have to answer your own question.
So in rollups, interoperability problem is way easier to solve.
Okay.
Because in drive chains, let's say you have ZK style drive chain that they implemented actually, right?
Yeah.
They have EVM style drive chain. And how can you speak among this like drive chains? You cannot. You have to get your BTC out to main chain. Then you need to go
to the other drive chain.
Similar to what you described today in our Ethereum L2 world, right? But in rollups, you can basically solve this with mechanism like called shared sequencing. And I will talk about our model to like have of scaling and interoperability. So we don't think there will be hundreds of rollups on Bitcoin, to be honest, because Bitcoin has like DA limitations, like a limit on data availability that you can use 4 megabytes per 10 minutes, which is like not that big. So we think that, and BitVM is also inefficient to use. So if like you have low liquidity, let's say 100 Bitcoin, then not worth to use BitVM because it's expensive to like, it will draw on all the liquidity to fees and stuff.
Yeah.
So we imagine there will be a couple of big rollups like Citrea will pull all the liquidity. Then in there, you will be deploying L3s and L4s to share the security easily without going through all the BitVM process and expensive on-chain transactions. And in that way, there are two things that we care. One is volition model, which basically divides the Citrea into two in an interoperable way. So you still interact with the same application in the same UX, but applications have a freedom to choose their data availability option.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you deploy some DEX, decentralized exchange, you can choose to where to put your data, off-chain or on-chain.
Okay.
On-chain is a bit expensive. Off-chain is extremely cheap. So you can choose, and they are interoperable because they are in the same blockchain. They just send the data into different things. So with that, you still have the benefit like thousands of TPS, extremely cheap transactions, but still Bitcoin security because everything is still ZK proof.
Yeah.
So this is the one way of scaling. And the other is fractal scaling, we call. If you are developing some game chain and you don't like EVM, which is fine, you can deploy your own L3. You can use alternative DA layers. You can use Bitcoin as DA layer. You can use Citrea as DA layer. Eventually boils down to Bitcoin. But you can customize your execution. And in that, we want to have this freedom that you can deploy your own sovereign chain. It doesn't have to be interoperable with others if it doesn't need this, right?
Yeah.
But the good thing is you can benefit all the things that is deployed on Ethereum so far. Shared sequencing, it works on Citrea because it's fully EVM compatible. Other things like bridging layers, like aggregated layer on rollups, you can put it on Citrea because it works, it's EVM. I think that is the good thing with building Citrea because what Ethereum promised us 8 years ago was like programmable Bitcoin kind of thing. But now you have Citrea, you can do everything that you can do on Ethereum and it is using BTC and it has Bitcoin security and it pays lots of fees to Bitcoin miners.
Yeah.
So you can benefit all the developments and you can enjoy the Bitcoin security with BTC.
What's not to love? If you guys are going to get there first, that kind of the game plan right now, like the first roll up is the one to win.
Yeah, not for the win, to be honest. It is not that easy job if you deploy the first and you are done. It is not like that, but on the execution, like we are a very competent team on development. I trust my team so much, but on the execution side, we are working hard as well.
Yeah,
we are working with all the projects to come back to Bitcoin, like use Bitcoin-backed stablecoins, Bitcoin-backed loans. And also we want to flourish our own ecosystem and we have some crazy ideas like Citrea is running on Bitcoin, has trust access to Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So why it cannot act as a DEX between RGB and Taproot assets?
Yeah.
Why you cannot build a liquid staking BTC providing liquidity to Lightning Network on Citrea?
Yeah.
Like there are crazy things that you can do with Citrea because it's running on Bitcoin with Bitcoin security and it has trustless access to Bitcoin data. So we are working towards it and being first is not that important for us.
Okay.
It is just something that we're proud of. We will come first, we believe. But it is not something that allows you to win. We are working on execution. We are working on technical developments. So it will be the most secure L2 that you can do everything. That's the promise.
What do you guys get out of being one of the first ones? Like, what's the motivations? And for background, for listeners, a lot of these L2s, Optimism, Arbitrum, Starkware, they've all launched their own tokens.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you guys are interested in, or is there other ways that you guys are looking at? I mean, you have to run a business as well. So
So we think that Bitcoin, and like if there is another token like Stacks, it competes with Bitcoin, right?
Yeah.
So we are committed to use BTC in anywhere, like deposit BTC. Yeah. It's the native token on the rollup. You pay the block space for BTC because it also boils down to the DA. So we are not having a plan to like launch our own token, like promise a token or like point. Lots of Bitcoin L2s today do like multi-sig deployment and promise tokens and airdrops. It's, excuse my language, but it's bullshit.
Yeah. You're allowed to, speak your mind when it comes to that. We do on the show. Yeah.
So we don't think this is a correct way of like building an L2 or bootstrapping an ecosystem. We care builders and we want applications first. Then it will attract the liquidity and users from Bitcoin-based chain and they will all use BTC. So technologically, today we don't need a token. So why not launch a token, right?
Yeah.
It is useless. If there is any point that a token can be useful, then like we think it is not that important to launch a token. Like if there's a decentralized exchange on Citrea and they need a token to like coordinate this liquidity or governance, okay, they can launch a token, whatever. But as a Citrea, we are using Bitcoin as our native token and we are proud of it.
Love that. Yeah, a lot of other teams are not doing that. Mm-hmm. And I wonder what that's going to be like this cycle. We're already seeing it right now with a lot of L2.
Yeah. RC20 is Star Wars kind of meme tokens, but then some parties claim that, okay, we developed this BRC20 because it contributes to the development of this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's kind of finding like ICO or IPO, but if technologically you don't need the token, it's useless.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the BRC stuff was just like just complete shenanigans and just goofballs. People figured out a way to tokenize something. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of fun. But it's really died out from what I've seen recently. Like the volumes are not really there. I'm sure it comes back as like markets pump. Let's go to OpCat, OpCTV, Covenants as we kind of finish up here. What would you like to see as a Bitcoin builder on top of Bitcoin?
There are like ZKP, obviously, I talk, but it's a very long-term goal. But in short term, I support CAT.
Yeah.
It's very simple, 10 lines of code, and it was in the beginning of like Bitcoin. I care about like community feedback. We must think every aspect of it. But over the years, I think we already think. It's an endless process. We can think 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, but it doesn't have an end. So we research about this for like years, people talking about CAT, implementing CAT applications on like Bitcoin forks and stuff. So we think that from my perspective, it enables lots of things with simple opcode change. So I support CAT. On CTV and TXH, to be honest, I am not like perfectly capable of saying that this is better than this in that covenant aspect. But to my knowledge, this kind of covenants makes VM extremely efficient. All this like pre-signed process because you basically pre-sign to emulate a covenant in most of the times. So CTV and TXS solves both. But from Robin's comments, like I said, I'm not the expert on that. He says TXH introspection allows much to do with BitVM.
Yeah.
So I'm not kind of supportive of both because I still not competed about it. Pros and cons that much, but I support some kind of covenant which community and I in the future will research and think about it. But in the near term, I think CAT is the most simple thing and it's the most powerful thing that you can enable and build some covenants even, right?
It's bringing home to mining as we finish up. Marathon this last week announced its merge mine layer 2. So I think it's a lot like RGB or something like that. Like I haven't looked into it too much, but just a merge mine chain.
Yeah.
It's obviously broken through, like whether it be ordinals that cause it or whether it be drive chains, like this Bitcoin tech talk that normally gets kind of shoved aside is now like permeating into like other corners of the Bitcoin ecosystem for the first time in a while. How do you think this progresses from here? Where are we going to go? Are we going to see more mining pools jumping in on this? Are we going to see some of these bigger companies that have like large Bitcoin hodls start pushing for different updates?
So like in our way, like we talk about proof of stake side chains, right? They don't benefit to miners.
Yeah.
And in merge mining, they kind of benefit to miners from out of the band. But Bitcoin today is governed by pools, right? Not individual miners in the most cases. So do we know this like pools share all the merge mined revenue to all the miners, and how we can like make it accountable without running the sidechain nodes and like counting.
Yeah. And we know they don't, because the stack stuff that's been happening last year, right? So. Okay. Yeah.
So in merge mining, I don't support out of the band payments. So I want in protocol fees. I want to show in the mempool explorer. I want to see in my Bitcoin node. I want to see which L2 paid more fees to miners. So I support this kind of in protocol thing, in protocol fees like rollups and other solutions similar to that. I don't support out of the band payments, to be honest, because it also doesn't solve anything about peg problem and stuff. But yeah, that's aside. So I spoke with several miners like in Denver or before. Most of them are like thinking, okay, we basically care all the like, we do the hardest thing of Bitcoin and we have lots of miners as a pool and we don't want to hurt anyone.
Yeah.
If we introduce something like controversial, then Bitcoin can result in like some reorgs or stuff. We don't want to break this thing. We want to keep Bitcoin going. Yeah, they are not like people focused on the consensus. Nodes are like most important thing. Miners obviously important in a sense that they keep the Bitcoin running without like going into social consensus and stuff. So I think most of them are neutral. They support anything that they gain fees.
Yeah.
Like unlike Ocean or stuff. Yeah. But the Marathon thing, I don't think it is something novel or different.
Yeah.
But that's their way of doing business, I respect. But I don't think it is something usable or benefit to miners other than their merge mined facilities, maybe. That's my view, basically.
Gotcha. Yeah, miners are interesting because they're both interested in gaining more fees and having more adoption of Bitcoin and Bitcoin projects because it affects their bottom line, especially with halving coming up. But on the flip side, they also have like these very structured businesses. Like, you know, they have GAAP reporting standards. They're listed on these major exchanges. And so like they're much more grown up than large parts of the ecosystem. And so there's both like a very conservative nature of miners, but then there's also like this flip side where they're like, they need to explore. And I've more or less found that it's like every other miner, like one miner will be very conservative. The next one is like game to kind of experiment a little bit. Which is interesting.
Yeah, that should be always the diversity among miners. Like, if everyone supports Ordinals, it's no good.
Yeah.
If everyone doesn't support Ordinals, it is no good either.
Yeah.
So I kind of support their neutrality, and I think that miners should behave economically. So they shouldn't think about like this is good, this is bad.
Yeah.
If something pays fees and it fits consensus wallet, then there's no problem to my eyes.
Definitely. Okay, where can people reach out, find out more about Citria, or if there's miners, what's the message towards them?
Yeah, so for contacts, you can visit our Twitter, citria_xyz, and webpage is citria.xyz, and I'm 0x_Orkun in Twitter, so maybe you can just attach this to somewhere. So if they have like mining facility and trying to work on some collaboration that we can increase the fees, or we can have like some kind of collaboration, they can reach out to me. And also application builders, if you have some critical application and some crazy idea on Bitcoin, please like reach out.
Love it. Thanks for joining today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.